I want to let you know that last Sunday we had a wonderful Rise Against Hunger. Over 50 people helped with the packaging of dry meals and the setup and the cleanups, and we thank everyone who participated in doing that. You helped to provide those packages that will be sent to different places. We're going to know very soon precisely where they go. So thank you for your gift of time to do that. And as you exit the sanctuary today, if you go out this way, you'll see on the wall our thermometer of funding, Rise Against Hunger, and how you met that goal and gave in excess of it so that we have seed money for the next Rise Against Hunger in 2020. Thank you for doing that. Your graciousness and your generosity express themselves in many ways. It's by your giving that we're able to have such fine instruments in the piano and the organ that we have and to keep them in tip-top shape. Our Bible buddies will meet today. It's one of our children's ministries for third through fifth graders. And your offerings help to go provide material and curriculum for that. You've responded to my request for funds for the Pastor's Discretionary Fund because July and August have been very heavy months trying to help with work with other churches and to help meet the crisis and the critical needs that come our way. And you've been very faithful in doing that. These and in so many other ways, all of these are about relationships. All of them are about building and valuing people and relationships. And so some of the ways in which you give of yourselves, financially and time and through your talents, the people who receive those blessings are people that you know. And there will also be people who are blessed that you will never meet and perhaps never know. But still, it shows Bethany's hearts of valuing relationships and building those. So last week, we talked about investing in our relationships. And last week, we saw how Jesus invested in his relationships with his disciples. And today, we see how Paul and Timothy invested in their relationships with the Christians and with the leadership in that day, the bishops and the deacons there in the city of Philippi. And the goal of this two-part series has been very clear, just as far as possible to be able to conduct all of our relationships in the manner of Christ, in the way that he did and continues to do. So last week we heard six ways, and if you're looking in your bulletin this morning, you'll see on the back part of the insert where we'll look at number 7 through 12, but let's take a look at the first six ways that we realized that we could make spiritual and emotional investments in our relationships. Six ways we can do that. Let's read them together. Turn toward instead of turning away. Be a giver more than a taker. Treat your friend as you want to be treated. Give your friend or spouse the triple A treatment: attention, appreciation, and affirmation. Express your friendship and love in words and actions, and take the time to enjoy your relationship. Here's number 7. Be on the same team. Be on the same team. And in our families and in our friendships, we have decisions that we often have to make. For example, one person may want to use vacation time to unwind and to relax, while another person may want to spend that time with family, traveling. Or maybe one person wants to use savings to improve the yard and the look of the property, where another one wants to use it to help people in need. One good question to always ask to ensure you're on the same team is there a way to do both? Is there a way to do both? And if not, then you can say, well, let's decide on doing one now, and then let's be sure to do the other later. And that values both expressions and both desires as well. Do whatever it takes to help one another. And look at it as people working together. Look at it as partners. Not doing something because, well, I just want that person to be content, or to this person because, well, I just don't want to say no. But look at it as being partners together, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, or co-workers together, or in a community organization, or in the family. In verse 6 here, Paul and Timothy write, "We're thankful for your partnership in the gospel." And the church is like that. It's a partnership. We one to another, and ourselves together with the Lord, because he's the one who puts the spirit into our heart and the love into our heart to be able to do what we're able to do. Number 8, pay attention to the spirit of your relationship. We all have friendships. Some of you are married. Some of you might even be engaged. And you probably have a good barometer on the spirit of your relationship, your friendship, your work with a co-worker, perhaps. I'm still learning about things in my family and my spouse and my friends that help me to pay attention to the spirit of the relationship. And so you know when you feel like you're on the outs with somebody. You know when you feel very close to someone. You know when there's something unresolved in your relationship that needs to be talked about. Pay attention to the spirit of your relationship. I have found that every new piece of information, every new experience that is shared in a friendship or in marriage contributes to the spirit of that relationship. And you know, another thing about relationships is that, you know, well, sometimes you have to say no, right? Sometimes you have to say no. Well, no one likes to hear no, right? But saying no in a kind way, having to perhaps decline a friend's invitation or a co-worker's idea, or even perhaps declining your spouse's idea about something, but doing it in a considerate way, you can still make a positive deposit in that relationship. I heard a joke about a man and a woman who were dating, and he thought it was going along pretty well, so he drew up his courage one night, and at the end of the evening, he said, "Your place or mine?" And the woman said, "Both. You go to your place and I'll go to my place." So pay attention to the spirit of your relationship. Sometimes you have to say no. Number 9, be mindful. Be mindful. You know, it's easy to be mindful to a child. We all want to meet our children's needs or perhaps our grandchildren's needs. That often comes very easy. But sometimes we miss or even ignore a friend's clue for connection. Sometimes we might even overlook someone in our family and miss it. Be mindful. Number 10, talk about stress. Talk about stress. You know, there's an old phrase that says, open up or blow up. You know? And that really helps us to make positive investments in our relationship. Take 20 or 30 minutes of undivided attention with each other. Make sure that all the emotions, all the thoughts are welcome out on the table. And if there's something that's really heated or really a hot thing, then you need to maybe set that aside for a separate time. Go ahead and do that. Talk about it. And the goal may simply be to understand. It may not be to solve a problem or to come up with the big answer about something, but simply to talk and to gain more understanding about it. Or simply to vent. I'll bet you have a coworker, a friend, somebody in your family who sometimes just needs to vent. They're not looking for an answer or a strategy on how to accomplish something. Just want to be heard. To reveal is better than to conceal. Think about that. To reveal is better than to conceal. Now, you might have different thoughts about that. You may say, well, it's a whole lot better for me and easier for me if I decide to conceal this rather than reveal this, share my real feelings and my real thoughts. But you have to make a decision about that and always pray about those things. But one thing's for certain, we feel loved when we feel heard. Amen? We feel loved when we feel heard and we feel understood. And the more that occurs, the better the chance to build up a reciprocal, spiritual, and emotional connection in that relationship. Number 11, say thank you. I mean, what a great way just to make a thoughtful, emotional, and kind deposit into a relationship. Say thank you. It's so simple, and yet all of us, we all have relationships that we take for granted. We can say thank you in so many different ways. I saw two signs recently. One sign said, say it with chocolate. Well, you can say thank you with chocolate. You sure can. I saw another sign that said, I love hugs and I love kisses, but what I really love is help with the dishes. And I think that might apply to some people here. Who knows? I'm just putting it out there. But say thank you. It's a wonderful way to make a deposit into your friendships and your relationships. Number 12, building on each other's strengths. Building on each other's strengths. When you do that, you can conquer each other's weaknesses. Building on each other's strengths, you can conquer each other's weaknesses. So make those deposits of love and friendship and patience and encouragement. Make those spiritual deposits of faith, of compassion, of shared experiences together. Make those love deposits, if you will, of time well spent together, romantic times, times of love, times of forgiveness as well. But also be aware of the dangers. Continued withdrawals without deposits lead to emotional bankruptcy. We all know what it's like to be asked of ourselves or to see someone else being asked more and more and more and yet not being put back into the relationship or the friendship. Be aware of that danger. The earlier the deposits, the better. Like you, I have found in my life that the best way for me to save money is to take it out before I start spending it. That's one way that I save for my pensions. I just have it taken out before it even comes to my hands or to my account. And it's the same way with investing personally in our relationships too. The earlier and the more frequently you make those deposits, the more you'll have for those later times when you're going to have to draw on those deep wells of deposits in your friendships and in your relationships. Let me tell you, that full bank of love, that'll pay off. I also believe that security comes to children when they see their parents caring for each other. It's important to practice friendship and relationships as Jesus did. And let the Holy Spirit teach us from the inside out. It's a big part of what we call stewardship, which is what we're going to be talking about over the next few Sundays. It's simply the care that we give to all that we have that's been given to us by God. It's how we manage those things and oversee those things and how we approach those things. All of our relationships, whether they're friendship, whether it's romantic, whether it's professional relationship or relationship in the family as well. And yes, here in the church. Here in the church where we have all taken the same vows of baptism, we've all taken the same vows of membership to be loyal to Jesus' church, to support his ministries with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. You know, how we manage and treat our money, our property, our health, how we manage and treat our bodies is all a reflection of our witness. How we handle each one of life's events that come to us. It's part of how we say thank you to Jesus. And let's remember that we are all Christians under construction. So be mindful of those deposits of hope and encouragement that somebody needs. In the sixth verse here, Paul and Timothy write, I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Even Paul and Timothy, they were mindful of that long view of relationships and how they continue to invest and to pour into both the leadership there at Philippi as well as the saints, which is just a Christian word and a biblical word for those who profess Christ and followed him. If you will, grab this book, The Faith We Sing. There's a chorus in here that was taken from the sixth verse of the first chapter of Philippians. It's found on page 2163. 2163. I'd like to close the message by singing it for you, and then for us to sing it together. Okay. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. Sing it with me. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. Now let's exchange the word you for me. Okay? Let's exchange the word you for me. He who began a good work in me, he who began a good work in me, will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in me. One more time. Us. Let's sing us. Complete in us, okay? He who began a good work in us, he who began a good work in us, will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in us. Amen. Amen.